Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm telling you, Donnie, Doreen's Cup of Joe in Naples is the greatest breakfast spot in the world. Please go there.
Maybe in a week from now I'll be there.
I hope you will be. It's a Football Friday with Greensburg's own Donnie Football, brought to you by Smale Kia, Route 30 in Greensburg, and it's one of our favorite times of the week. Usually we're looking ahead at a Steeler game. Now we unfortunately are looking back at one. One of the biggest debacles in recent Steeler memory, certainly from the defensive side. And on the line is our friend Nick Kostos, host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check the latest lines on the BetMGM app. Catch You Better You Bet weekdays 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern. And You Better You Bet countdown to kickoff Sundays 11 to 1. Leading you up to kickoff on the BetMGM network on the Odyssey app. Nick, my understanding is you've already heard the biggest news of the day, which isn't the Steeler loss, but that one of our hosts here, Andrew Filippone, promised before the game that if they lost, he would get his nipples pierced without any numbing agents. Are there odds out on that yet, whether he actually comes through?
So great to be on with you guys. I've been on Filippone's show a couple times. I don't claim to know him personally. So I guess the odds would have to be like, is he a real man or not?
Mm.
Donnie? And I don't know the answer to that question.
Donnie knows him better than any of us. Donnie?
So the question would be, Donnie, if our guy Pony, if he is a real man, he'll follow through on his promise. Like you can't put something like that into the ether and then not follow up on it. Then you have no credibility. You can't do it ever again.
Yeah,
I think he kind of has to go through. My guess is that he doesn't.
Yeah, I will say this. He has had bets in the past where he has welched, but nothing has picked up the way this one has.
Yeah.
Like, now that it's out there, everybody has seen it. Pardon My Take is talking about it. Everybody knows about this. He looks like a massive coward if he doesn't go through. So I think he is actually going to hold his word here, Nick. I think he's going
to
do it.
And he's also tried to pay off people as well to not have his bets go through. But maybe he'll make a donation.
But Mulsey and I, and that's
great,
the
great,
other.
Great. Send a stimulus package out to like everyone on Twitter that wants to see this happen.
Stimulus.
Nick, so the good news on this is that Chris Muller, who is the other afternoon host with Pony, and I'm the guy behind the glass for them, every time Pony goes out and does this, Chris and I will make the caveat now. You can't buy it out with charity. You can't try to turn around and act like I'm going to be the nice guy and donate $2,000 to whatever charity. See, I'm a good guy.
Oh, that's
no
okay.
Buyout.
See, I think that's okay. If you have like, I actually think that's all right. If he's going to make like a big donation to some kind of like charity, that's really awesome. I actually think that's permissible, because now it's just like feeding, and I'll admit, like, I'm one of them. It's like you're feeding the trolls a little bit, right? It's like everyone wants to see blood now. Like, you promised this, like, you promised blood, now we want blood. But we don't really need to see blood, because here's the thing, right? He does it, and everyone gets a laugh, and then we're all on to the next thing, and this dude's got nipple rings, right? And he's gonna live with it after. So he can take them out, obviously, but he has to do it. So I actually think that that's permissible. If our guy Pony wants to buy his way out of this and donate money to like a great cause, I actually think that that would be okay. My personal opinion.
Fair enough. Let's get to the football game.
This is why you don't make promises like that. I would just throw that out.
Yeah, that's fair. Did that shock you last night? Who did you have in that game?
I bet the Steelers. Mm. You guys know I love the Steelers this year.
Still?
I thought the Steelers offense would dominate. I was right. What I didn't expect was the Steelers defense to be as bad as it is. And I actually, like, we can have a conversation about the game last night, and there's, I can't wait for my show today. It's like, I'm going to do probably 40 minutes to start my show today on this game last night, and most of it will be about Pittsburgh. And we can talk about the game itself, but I'm almost more interested in what's next now for the Steelers. And let's like leave Baltimore out of the conversation for the moment. Next couple games for Pittsburgh, right? Home Packers, home Colts, at the Chargers, home Bengals, at the Bears, home Buffalo, at the Ravens. Now, we can leave the last couple games out. All of these teams have, at worst, average offenses to above average to great offenses. All of them. The Steelers, I think we can now say, after what we saw in week one, where they got shredded by the Jets, but were able to win the game. Shout out to Chris Boswell for the 60-yarder. You know, they've gotten fat on some bad teams, and I like them. I bet them to make the playoffs before the start of the season. Where I'm at now, it's okay, you shut down Dylan Gabriel, you shut down Carson Wentz in Dublin, like, good on you. You beat the Patriots because they turned it over five times and averaged a million yards per play. After what we saw last night, where I would question, do they practice? Are they aware of who the other players in the league are?
Right.
Have they ever heard of Ja'Marr Chase before last night? Like, do they know who he is? Are they aware of his existence? That he is a real person and plays on the Cincinnati Bengals? Because it looked like they had no idea who he was. So we project this forward. Okay, next week, Green Bay. How many points are they giving up in that game? Colts and that offense. How many points are they giving up? Chargers passing offense with a healthier offensive line. How many points are they giving up? Can this defense stop good offenses? Because I think the Steelers' offense is really good. Aaron Rodgers is playing awesome. Mm-hmm. I can't believe how bad the Steelers' defense is. And I don't know where the confidence comes from that they can get this turned around. And I'm Mr. Steeler this year, and I'm here right now saying I am exceptionally concerned. Honestly, I'll get my nipples pierced if the Steelers' defense turns it around at some point this season. I'm kidding. I won't do that.
Okay.
Nick, I mean, that's why I have been hesitant and why it's been a talking point with us every single week when you hop on. I still could not bring myself to bet on the Steelers or get behind them to win the North because I've just had the bad feeling of a game like last night. And now not only does it keep the door open for the Ravens when Lamar comes back, but I even think it keeps the door open for the Bengals. If Flacco keeps them, what if Flacco keeps them afloat?
Horrible.
Here comes Joe Burrow.
No, they're terrible, Cincinnati. They're awful. Like, that's what makes this so bad. Like, their defense is an absolute train wreck. Cincinnati's defense.
I think the only good defense in the North is Cleveland.
You can honestly, like, you can. I actually think you're right. But the Browns have the worst. The Browns are trying to lose games without actually trying to lose games. So, like, cross them off the list, right? Like, I hope the Steelers. I want the Steelers to make the play. I win money if they make the playoffs. I'm rooting for it to happen. I'm just saying, like, I don't know how does it get better.
The defense?
How does the defense get better?
Great,
how does it happen?
Great question, because they were healthy going into that game. Tomlin said after last week, see, this is what you get when we're healthy and we got all our pieces. And then they go into Cincinnati and do that. So I don't have an answer for you on that.
Honestly, like Jalen Ramsey, he's had like a couple good games. He's been more bad than good, I think. Like, Darius Slay's is Porter the only corner that you actually trust? I mean,
no, what? You don't trust him. He has 25 penalties and two picks in his whole career.
What happened last night was an atrocity. It was a football atrocity. This is like a football war crime was committed last night.
I agree.
It was- It's just like if you were sitting down to watch football for the first time last night, you would have been, is this how you play? Like, don't they know that this guy's getting the ball on every, how is he open on every, you would think at some point they'd say, okay, whatever we're doing isn't working. You probably would have realized that like midway through the first quarter, probably. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, we're at the end of the game on the final drive. And just Chase is open on every play. How do you not double him? Like, if I'm the Steelers last night, I'll let T. Higgins beat me. You can't keep letting Jamar Chase beat you. It was embarrassing. It was horrible.
Nick, I mean, I don't even really want to jump to another game like we always tend to do when we do these hits, because this has just been so electric. Talking about the Steelers, I don't think this defense does turn it around. They have been able to feast against weaker offenses, but like you pointed out, I don't know the next time they face one. And they fear Joe Flacco like he's a boogeyman.
Well, I mean, I don't even know if it's like this was an unbelievable breakdown in coverage last night, where if Jake Browning had played that game, why couldn't Jake Browning have done what Joe Flacco did last night? Jamar Chase was open on every single play. And it wasn't like these were 50-yard passes down the field. It's like, it's the same route every single time. This is like when I used to play Madden I grew up and now I have a kid and now I don't get to play video games anymore. But you play Madden and like you play against your friends and like your friends stoned, or at least my friends are, and they don't know what they're doing. And you just run the same play over and over and over. And they have no idea how to stop. You don't know what they're supposed to call to stop the play.
Yep.
And at the end of the game, it's why we call it video game numbers. Jamar Chase had a video game performance last night in a football game against the highest priced defense in the league. So I just look. The caution that I will put out there is the NFL is obviously the ultimate week-to-week league. And we see fortunes change at the drop of a dime in the National Football League. Like, look no further than the Ravens, who are 1-5, and how insane that is.
Mm.
It's not outside the realm of possibility that the Steelers can turn this around defensively. I'm a little pessimistic and I'm a little pissed right now because I felt like it was there for the taking last night. They averaged over 7 yards per play. Rodgers looked like he did in 2011 in Green Bay when he won the MVP, and they lost. 7 of 10 on third down, and they lost to the Bengals with and their trash defense and that terrible offensive line. It's, you know, like Tomlin has obviously done this before, right? You know, on the road, pretty decent sized favorite, lose a game like this.
Yeah.
It's been a narrative, not just a Pittsburgh narrative, it's a national narrative. I'm sure that there are ones that could be as bad as this. Right now, to me, I'm trying not to be prisoner of the moment. This stands out as one of the worst ones. It's really bad.
We agree, I think. We were talking about at the beginning of the show, one of the most embarrassing defensive performances of Tomlin's 19-year tenure. But let me leave you with this, Nick. I will go to one game. This week. It's one of the Monday nighters. Tampa Bay at Detroit. So what do you see there? And has Baker Mayfield risen to the top of the MVP odds yet?
So, Joe, I think if the season obviously does not end today, but if it did, I think Baker would win MVP in unanimous fashion. Mm. He would win. But the season does not end today. And the reason why if you're out there listening and you strongly disagree with me, like you can be right, I can be wrong. I don't think the Bucs are one of the best teams in the conference. I think that they have done a lot of this, and Baker's the reason why. So it's not like it's like mysticism. Like he's won a lot of these games at the end, and maybe that continues, right? But they're 5-1. This win against San Francisco this past weekend, where the Niners lose, they're already down Nick Bosa. And then they lose Fred Warner. So it's not just like they're two defensive players. It's like they have two Hall of Famers and then a bunch of scrubs, and the two Hall of Famers are out for the season. So great, like you won by 11 points. That's their first win that hasn't come in like the final 5 seconds of a game this season. It just seems unsustainable to me, which doesn't mean that Baker's not great. He's awesome and he's fun to watch. I don't think he's going to win MVP because in order to win MVP, you have to go like 15-2. You have to be the one seed. And I don't know that Tampa's going to make that happen. Now, if I'm betting the game on Monday night at this moment, I'll take the points with the Bucs. The reason is the Lions secondary is once again in tatters like it was last Sunday night against the Chiefs. The difference this time is that Brian Branch, who like smacked Juju Smith-Schuster in the face pregame, smacked his helmet, is suspended. So now they're down another key member of their secondary up against Baker Mayfield. Tampa could be down a ton of receivers here. We don't know if Mike Evans is going to play. Igbuka's out. We'll see about Godwin. So we're going to find out more over the weekend in terms of the injury report. Make me pick right now. I would take the Bucs plus the points.
Nick, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Can we? I'm going to say we here because I bet on the Steelers. Mm. Can we hang on and win this division? Or like they're not going to, right? Like the Ravens are going to come back, right?
That's the feeling I have.
I don't know about the Ravens seem broken, man. The Ravens seem broken.
They do, but I mean,
Michael, I've got news for you. There's a mechanic coming to fix them, and he wears number 8, and he'll be back for their next game.
I know, but that schedule's brutal still, Nick. I mean, they're going to get up to. It's not like they're not going to lose 3 more games the rest of the year. That gets them to 8. That gets them to 9-8.
Their schedule's a lot easier than the Steelers.
Do you guys want to play do you have time?
Yes.
Do you want to play the win-loss game quickly with Baltimore?
Yes.
Okay, ready? Okay. Ravens come off the bye next week, home Chicago.
Maybe a win if Lamar plays.
Joe.
I have them winning a lot of these games.
Lamar's going to play. He's expected to play. He's going to play.
Okay. Because if he doesn't play, they're an expansion team. But yes, okay. With Lamar, they win. Although Chicago is a much better team than they've been.
Joe, who wins the game if Lamar plays?
Baltimore squeaks by.
Okay, but they win. Okay. All right, so can someone smarter than me just like write? So 2-5. At Miami.
Win.
3-5.
At Minnesota.
Loss.
I say win, but if you could say loss if you want. So 3-6. At Cleveland.
Win.
Win.
Home Jets.
Win.
Win.
Home Bengals.
Win.
Win.
Home Steelers.
I would probably go win.
Probably.
Now, wait
a
second. They
score 40 points in that game.
Right, but you're not taking into consideration the over-under is gonna be 68 defense. And a half. The Ravens defense made the Steelers last night look like the 85 Bears. Have you watched the Ravens lately?
Do you want to say win or loss to the game in Baltimore?
I'm going to say a Ravens win.
Loss.
Okay. I love the optimism. At Cincinnati, now Burrow could be back for that game.
Right.
I would still take Baltimore.
I go with Baltimore in that one, yes.
Me too.
Home Patriots.
Drake May dices them up and the Patriots win.
I love it. At the Packers.
Loss.
At the Steelers.
Win.
So what is that? So Joe, you're a little more pessimistic. I think they might lose 2 games.
Wow.
Yeah, so I think Nick and I are at like 7 losses. I think you're at 8.
8's tough. You might not get in with 8. So there's not a lot of margin for error here. But then also, it's like, are we sure Pittsburgh's winning 10 games?
God, no. Of course not. But so, hold on. Hold
the
on.
Ravens could win the division at 9-8 or 10-7.
Sure they could, but I don't think you're taking into consideration how bad their defense has been and how banged up they are. I mean,
you're right. So I want to say, like, let's see who's back coming out of and to be fair, it was bad in week 1.
And how bad did Lamar look in Kansas City?
Well, I mean, he got hurt.
He looked horrible before that, and he looked...
Well, you know, that's like Lamar has to see... He sees Patrick Mahomes, he sees like the final boss, and he dribbles down his leg a little bit. I don't know if that's going to happen against Aaron Rodgers.
But their defense has given up... Yeah, their defense has given up 41, 38, 37, 44. I mean, it's unbelievable what has happened there. They could lose any game with that defense.
We're coming out of the bye. So I'm just saying here, I want the Steelers to win. That's I would prefer for that to happen. It's possible coming out of the bye for Baltimore that the defense looks way better. I'm not saying it's likely, but think about that, right? The talent on the roster for the Ravens defense is way better than they've been performing. They get a week off. I think Zach Orr is a pretty good coach. It's possible they get this turned around. I'm just saying, like, and I know you guys feel this way. I would be really scared right now if I were a Steelers fan. And I am as someone that bet on them.
I am too.
Of the Ravens in particular?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the Bengals are horrible. Like, they stink.
Yeah, my only fear there is that Flacco somehow keeps them afloat and then Burrow comes back.
I mean, since Flacco arrived, they were down, what, six. It was a one score game with 2 minutes left in Green Bay, and they just won.
They got no. I like, you're right about the final score. Like, the Packers had 2.5 more yards per play. The Packers should have won that game by 30 points. Like, the Bengals can keep winning. They have to win like they won last night in every game, because the defense is not going to be able to stop anybody.
Yeah, just like last year.
So, like, can they win? Can they win 33-31, 35-31, 41-38, 38-35? I have my doubts.
Me too. Their defense is tragic, but they could go 9-8, just like they did. It's no different than last year with them.
I'll tell you what. This is just my opinion. Before the season, I bet the Bengals to miss the playoffs, and that was with Joe Burrow. So I'm not the right person to have this conversation with Joe Flacco. I mean, if I didn't like them with Burrow, I'm not going to like them with Flacco.
Fair point. I can be
wrong, right? I'm not saying I'm 100% right. That's my opinion.
Nick, we value your opinions. Great stuff. Thanks, man.
Man, this is a great practice for my show today. Wishing everyone minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you, sir.
That was a legendary hit.
He is incredible. Is he not? That guy? That was the host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Kostos. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary for all of your betting and sports talk needs. Check out the BetMGM network on the Odyssey app. Donnie, there's four teams in the history of the league.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Who have come back from 1-5 to make the playoffs. Is fear really the word? People should be afraid of the Ravens? I don't think so. I think they're broken. I think the Steelers are still going to win this division by default. I'm actually more concerned about the Bengals than I am the Ravens.
I think my fear isn't even so much about the Ravens. It's about what we could see or not see from the Steelers down the stretch. And maybe it's because of the wounds that are still open from last year you know, what we've seen in somewhat recent years. There have been times, multiple times, since Lamar Jackson took over as the Ravens starter in the middle of 2018, where the Steelers carried more than a 2-3 game lead with about 5 or fewer weeks to go in the season.
You're right about that.
And they found a way to lose the division. It happened just last year. They had a 2-game lead with 3 weeks to go.
But there's never been a time the Ravens were 1-5.
No, and the defense hasn't looked this bad.
And Matt Abuike, who might be their second best overall defensive player, gone for the year. Roquan Smith looks like he's 100 years old. Marlon Humphrey looks to be near done. Kyle Hamilton can't stay healthy. They don't have a pass rush. They just got rid of Owe, who wasn't even that good, although he did have 10 sacks last year. I just think that defense is as bad as the Bengals.
It is a brutal defense. That's really the only silver lining I find myself with. But I have to agree with Nick that with Lamar Jackson, assuming Lamar Jackson is back to 100% out of the bye, the Ravens will have the advantage in majority of their games.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I mean, it's going to come down to 9-8, 10-7 for the winner of this division. Would you agree with that?
it's looking that way. I wouldn't even say a typical year, because I thought, now Lamar wasn't hurt in this scenario, I thought the Ravens would be a team that would win like 13 or more games.
Oh, they were supposed to be a juggernaut, them and the Bills.
I didn't think the defense would be as bad. We didn't think that Lamar Jackson, you don't want to assume that Lamar Jackson is going to miss games. So that took a hindrance on that prediction. But it could very well come down to that final week. Week 18, Steelers and Ravens in Pittsburgh. It could really come down to that.
And I'm sure you'll acknowledge this. We could be singing a very different tune if they have a command performance at home against the Packers on a Sunday night and go to 5-2 with a resounding win. That could happen.
For sure. I mean, we know that the reactions that we have from these games, it does really go game by game.
Yeah.
I mean, after the Seattle game, it was like the sky was falling and Pony and Chris wondered, you know, like, should this team just keep losing? You know, how good is this? How good could this team really be? Then they rattle off three straight wins and it looks a whole lot prettier. I still don't want to say that they are an outright bad football team.
I think they're a broken football team, the Ravens.
Defense overrated, absolutely. I mean the Steelers here.
Oh, the Steelers, yeah.
Yeah. Defense overrated, absolutely. It's looked that way for most of the season.
Yeah, I still think they're going to win 9 or 10 games, I think.
Yeah, they're going to find their way to the usual spot.
What if Flacco's on one of these heaters? What if he's on a 2012 heater? What he did last night was remarkable. He didn't face a ton of pressure, I'll acknowledge that, but I'm not going to agree with people who say, oh, he just got the ball and got rid of it. That's absolutely not the case. He sidestepped. He was very deft in the pocket at sidestepping the rush at times, at buying himself an extra second. He was unbelievable in that game, and it reminded me of watching him in 2012. It's like watching a pitch. It's like watching Jake Arrieta when he found it, you know? That one year, he was never really like that other years, but he all of a sudden found it. That's what Flacco did in 2012. And the guy I saw last night, and the fact that he stepped in last week against Green Bay after 10 minutes with the Bengals, really has my notice. I'll tell you, has my attention.
Two games so far with Cincinnati. Flacco, 561, 5 touchdowns, no picks, and a passer rating of 100 on the nose.
And I don't have to look. These are the two best receivers he's ever played with in his life. And you and I talked about how sometimes football's not that complicated. Coaches like to make it so. Sometimes it's that guy, number one, is really blanking good. I'm just going to throw it to him every play, like a pickup game in your backyard. I'm going to throw it to that 6'4 kid who's unbelievable and nobody can cover him or double cover him. It might be boring and the other kids won't really get a chance. But if we have 50 plays, I'm throwing it to him 40. And then the other guy, number five, what's Higgins' number? 5?
Yeah.
He's pretty good, too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think it's coaches that make it more complex. I think it's people in the media like us, or people that are like the film junkies who break down every single play, deep dive into the analytics, who want to work out all of these stats. But it's normally coaches that will actually dumb it down if you have a conversation with them. Austin and I had a game last weekend at W&J. Mike Sirianni, you might know that last name. His brother won a Super Bowl last year. He's been coaching at W&J for a quarter century and is like a 9-time coach of the year in the conference. And he said, honestly, guys, people try to complicate football all the time. Normally, it just comes down to how good your players are.
Yeah.
It's the Jimmys and Joes and the X's and O's conversation.
We agree. I'm going to throw it to that guy because he's the best wide receiver in football and nobody can cover him. Now, coaching does come into it a lot, especially when you're arrogant enough to say, oh, we're just going to leave Jalen Ramsey on him. Really? Because Jalen Ramsey can't cover him. Why don't you put two guys on him? Why don't you bracket him with three guys and make somebody else beat you? You know what I mean, Donnie?
So that's where you run into an issue with the same line I just used. That's like the type of line that Mike Tomlin would use and say, well, my guy, I feel like my guys are better than their guys, but they're not.
What if they're not? Right.
I mean, if this is Jalen Ramsey when he's 25 years old against Jamar Chase, okay, that's one thing, but that's not the story anymore.
The story at least one of the big stories. It started up front, and then the pass rush, T.J. Watt, start with him, completely invisible. But this secondary is not these corners. Let's boil it down to these corners, and you include Ramsey in the corner group, certainly last night, are not nearly as good as Mike Tomlin told us they'd be, as they told us they'd be. They're not nearly as good. Darius Slay is not the guy he used to be. Joey Porter is not the guy that people, including him, he thinks he's elite and said it in the preseason. He's not that. I don't even know. What is he? And then there's Jalen Ramsey, who's still good and makes some phenomenal plays and is a versatile weapon, but he's not somebody who's going to line up and just shut down, certainly not Ja'Marr Chase, and I don't think other top wide receivers in the league. Jalen Ramsey has had a lot of tough moments this year, too, in coverage.
Yeah, he's been a real boom or bust player. Like, I mean, he even had a really nice play last night where he broke up a pass around the end zone, but then in the same breath, it's like a touchdown given up after that. And I'm not denying that they don't have great players, great individual players on their defense, but the guys are a little bit older. Cam Hayward, long in the tooth. T.J. Watt, over 30 years old at this point. Those are their two big stars. Jalen Ramsey, same thing. He's now on the plus side of 30, can still have the great moments. But the issue that I take so much with the defense is that we do hear the comments in the offseason. We hear guys wanting more money. And I understand, like, these guys have to, you know, get their bag while they have the opportunity to. But it's been so much talk. It's been so much bark and so little bite.
Yeah,
from this defense when it actually matters. You think back to the truly great defenses that we've had, even just since the turn of the century. I know we go back to that 08 defense a lot because it was truly historic. How much chatter did we ever hear from them in the offseason, even during the season? They would just go out there and show you they were the best defense. They didn't just say, oh, we got the best defense in football. We have this guy, that guy, this guy. We're the top paid defense. We're the best defense. The guys back then would just go out and show you. They had one Hall of Famer on that defense, Troy Polamalu. One borderline guy, James Harrison. This defense, probably three guys that'll get into the Hall of Fame. They ain't nowhere close to that 08 defense.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
The silver lining here, pretty clearly, Donnie, is the offense. Even if we had some problems with Artie getting cute, that tight end screen to Mount Washington was ridiculous. What do you think? He's going to avoid tacklers out there? What are you doing? And then I thought Jaylen Warren should have gotten more carries, especially in the first half. The flea flicker. Again, what are you doing? You're averaging 6.5-7 yards a carry. Just run. And then let Rodgers pick his spots. Having said that, they did enough. The offense scored enough for the highest paid defense on the planet to have won the game. And Aaron Rodgers, I mean, that's more than a silver lining. He gives them a chance to win games. I thought at best he was going to be late stage Ben, who was pretty good.
Yeah.
and who wasn't going to cost the Steelers necessarily, and you could win with a good cast. He wasn't going to be the reason they won. I think he's good enough to be the reason they can win games, including maybe a playoff game. That's how good I think he's been. He seems to be getting better. He seems to be diving deeper back into the fountain of youth. That guy last night was at times phenomenal.
Joe, he's on pace for 40 touchdown passes at 41 years old. He has 14 touchdown passes this season through six games. He has two games this year already where he has thrown four touchdown passes.
Yes.
He is more than doing his part. And I know that, I mean, I'm not going to speak for you or Austin, but I certainly had my doubts what a 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers would look like.
Me too.
With the Steelers in this offense. And the guy has been more than I could have asked for.
Me too. I mean, the first game, He looked, and he said it afterward, very stiff. And he said, my back was hurting in that game. Last night, that was pretty close to vintage Aaron Rodgers. Like, he can't move like he used to, but he did take up 8 seconds on one play. The incredible scramble and throw to Jonnu Smith. And there were such great throws down the sidelines. That same first drive of the game, the one he delivered to Metcalf was ridiculous. The ball he delivered to Metcalf that wound up being an interception was a ridiculous throw. The one down the seam, the touchdown to Freiermuth, was unbelievable. The first touchdown to Freiermuth. If I step back, he gives them a chance. Like that is a real positive from that game last night. The Steelers have a quarterback. And not just last night. It's been pretty much all season. He has the most touchdowns through their first six games with the team of any quarterback in Steeler history.
It's been an odd role reversal from what we've seen the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Really, since Ben's departure, it's been a lot of, hey, they got to win this game super ugly. And the defense would come up in a lot of games. And even though they had their warts in the playoffs, they more or less helped this team limp to 9 or 10 wins every year. This time, they actually happen to have an offense that can put up some points.
Unbelievable.
And the defense looks like it can't stop anybody.
It almost looks like all the defense has to do is be average, and they can't even be that in some of these games. And like I said, silly me, I was fooled by them. I won't be fooled again, as The Who once said, Donnie. You know who The Who is, right?
Yes, Roger, a very good song.
Yeah. Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service. Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Oh, my God, limits. We're supposed to get to the Bechtold breakdown.
Yes.
I've lost my mind. Please get to it, and I apologize.
And it's brought to you by Southside Plumbing and Heating, our good friend Jake at Southside Plumbing and Heating. We also want to give a shout-out to Food for Thought Deli for lunch today, fellas.
That was
how about
great.
That?
The corned beef is to die for,
yeah,
Donnie.
Yeah, that was very clutch.
Yeah.
Sandwiches
nice
were awesome.
Nice ham and turkey sandwich.
Yeah.
So Joe Flacco turned some bad into good yesterday, because apparently he said on the post-game show on the Amazon broadcast he didn't even know some of the plays when they were called, and it just kind of worked out.
So listen, there was a handful of plays today that I was like, what is he saying? We have these formations that end in F, and I was not getting it. That one, I read off my wristband. It was correct. Jamar lined up on the ball. Noah lined up off. Jamar was supposed to be off the ball. He was supposed to counter motion and bluff that end.
Yeah.
And when he was on the ball and the play clock was run down, I was like, ah, screw it. I was just going to hand it off, but he came off the edge, so to him quick. I was like, all right, I haven't done this since my probably first or second year, but I'll do it now.
That just adds to the embarrassment. He's been there 10 days, and he's drawn crap up in the dirt.
You know what it oddly makes me think of, which was another damning moment for the Mike Tomlin defense? Now, this goes back about 5 years, and it's not quite the same story, but him, Joe Flacco, saying that, it made me think of that playoff game against the Browns when Baker Mayfield admitted, I didn't even know the names of half of the offensive linemen.
Yeah, a guy named Frank, he said.
Yeah, I'd be getting in the huddle and I wouldn't know the guys who were around me.
Right.
And they scored 48 points on that defense. Well, I know that their own defense helped them out and the bad snap and all of that. But
yeah,
still, that Browns offense was able to carve them up that night.
Another
same way the game went last night.
Another brutal moment in Tomlin history where the defense just looks so predictable, and there have been so many damning quotes. Julian Edelman saying you always knew what you're going to get from that defense, And Ja'Marr Chase last night intimated that. Yes, Limits? I think he said we expected exactly what we got. There were just no surprises last night.
I don't understand why they went away from what was working when the defense was on a little bit the last few weeks. They had 17 sacks in the three-game winning streak.
Afraid of Flacco.
I just don't get how you have the combustible elements that are a quarterback that's never been mobile, that can only beat you when he does have time.
Who throws a ton of interceptions.
And a bad offensive line. I don't know why the reasoning was, hey, we blitz six or more guys over 20% of the time, highest rate in the NFL, another number we went over yesterday. I don't understand when the only way Flacco can beat you is when you give him any sort of time, because he will find somebody open and you don't go after him more often.
It couldn't have been any worse. A 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Sunny today, a high of Dermoni Dawson, 63, low of Jerome Bettis, 36. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions.
How about the flea flicker, fellas? Mike?
Was that a flea flicker called in the first half?
It was.
Aaron, do you agree?
Yeah, it wasn't supposed to be a flea flicker. Yeah, we were on the same page.
I know we hinted on this a little bit earlier in the whole grand discussion of the game, and I feel like it was one of the smaller issues they had, because we've said so many glowing things about the offense that, you know, a couple of things would be demerits to them, and that play was one of them. It just feels to me like Aaron changed up the call, and
yeah,
it wasn't, you know, Jalen Warren didn't catch wind of it. Like, he just missed the communication.
Yeah, now that I hear them both talk, neither one is wrong. Yes, the play called was a flea flicker, which Tomlin acknowledged, and then Aaron Rodgers basically said it wasn't supposed to be a flea flicker because he changed the call. Ryan Fitzpatrick explained it all at halftime. He said Rodgers put on an alert, and the only guy who didn't get the alert that the play had been changed was Jalen Warren. I have a problem with the play call. I know if they score a touchdown, happy. But you're dominating the game on the ground at that time, really, and in the air, but you're averaging 6.5 yards a carry. What's the need for a trick play there? I don't get it. I think Artie gets too cute at some very odd times.
Yeah, I still have a hard time jumping all over him. I know it was an odd time. I know that the tight end screen to Darnell Washington was an odd time that kind of hurt that drive later in the game. But overall body of work, I mean, the offense was able to very easily move up and down the field.
They were. But there's always that component, Donnie, of how are you playing offense relative to how your own defense is performing? And something that still nags at me is could the Steelers have just dummied down that game and handed the ball off to Warren? Literally, I'm talking 30, 35 times, and kept Flacco and Chase off the field. Especially when you realize, all right, this guy is red hot today, and we can't cover Chase. We have no defense. So, yeah, we're scoring points, but maybe we should just focus on keeping them off the field, because their running game couldn't be stopped. But in the end, I do lean your way for sure. They scored, 31 points?
Yeah. If you told everybody that works at this station yesterday, the Steelers will score 31 points. And yeah, I know that Austin predicted an outright loss. Credit goes to him.
Yeah.
I thought it would be a dogfight of a game, but I thought the Steelers would win by a field goal. I know Chris thought the same thing, but plenty of guys thought it would be a relatively easy Steelers win.
I did.
If you tell all of us in Austin, I'll include you here because you're the guy who predicted an outright Bengals win.
Yeah.
If you say the Steelers will score 31 points and that's all you know.
Yeah.
You're going to come back with, okay, they're going to win.
I would have thought that, yeah.
And by the way, we have the Steelers giving up 33. They really gave up 37 because T. Higgins smartly went to the ground. Mm-hmm. That was a touchdown. So they really gave up 37. And guess what? They might have given up more. What was the score at that point?
That was when it was 31-30.
It would have been 37. Exactly.
Yeah.
Who knows if the Steelers go down and score right away, if the Bengals then come back and score three more to put up 40. So 30, to say they gave up 33 is even misleading. They really gave up 37 at least and might have given up more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radnor, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.